The Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast with Bhairav Patel and Alan Clark.
Welcome to the Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast, where we tackle the practical challenges that startup founders and small business owners face and give our own unvarnished opinions. My name is Bhairav Patel. I'm the Managing Director at Atom Ventures and Atom CTO, where we partner with small businesses and startup founders to help them define and build their tech vision.
And I'm Alan Clark. I'm the founder of the Business Growth Partnership, and we work with high-potential businesses to help them unblock the blockages that are preventing them from reaching their full potential.
Welcome, everybody, to the Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast. So Alan and I are back. It's been a while since we last released anything. I think it's been about 4 or 5 weeks since we've last released a podcast, and that is because Alan got thrown a curveball, and this week, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about unexpected situations. So Alan and I had a great plan of all the different podcasts we wanted to do over the next year. We were doing pretty well, sticking to that plan. And then one day, Alan says, I'm in hospital. And then what happened next, Alan?
Absolutely. And like, you know, real life, curveballs come along when you don't expect them, because that's the very nature of them. And as Bhairav said, we had all these time plans for what we're doing with the Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast, and I had all of the plans that I'd laid out for the work that I do and the consultancy work I do. And then one day, I ended up going into hospital and an ongoing issue with my jaw. I went into the dental hospital in Glasgow to get an x-ray, and that afternoon, I had planned on delivering a workshop session with one of my clients. And, I never made it to that workshop. And I didn't make it to anything for a fortnight, 2.5 weeks. And then when I did come back, I had to have a very different plan. And what happened there was, I went in for my x-ray. Senior consultant got involved and diagnosed something way more serious than anybody had been looking at previously. Long story short, I had osteonecrosis in my jaw that caused it to fracture. And 2 hours after sitting with after the dental consultant coming into the room, I was sitting in front of a maxillofacial consultant in an entirely different hospital. 2 hours after that, I was having a CT scan in that hospital, and 12 hours later, I was in surgery, having an operation on my jaw and on my face that ended up with an external skeleton being added. So, and then I was told you wouldn't be leaving here for 10 days. So, as all curveballs do, it was certainly not something I was expecting, and it always lands at exactly the wrong time, because I had a full diary of things that I had to do. That said, I did have some experience of dealing with this stuff before. Because going back 13 years ago, maybe there's something in the number 13, I had three of my colleagues had just signed off a deal to do a management buyout of the company we worked for. And 14 days after we sat in the lawyer's office and signed that deal off and became owners, and I became joint MD of the ad agency we all worked for, I sat in the very same hospital I had this op in, and a very nice doctor, I have to say, said, you've got a very aggressive cancer and it needs immediate treatment, and you can't even contemplate going back to work for 6 months, which is not really what you want to hear when you've just taken over a business. But again, another curveball. So in today's podcast, I just wanted to sort of chat around, how do you deal with these things? What do you do about it? You know, can you plan for them? Or actually, is it not about having a plan? Because with the best one in the world, you don't know what the curveball is going to be and what the consequences are. But is it a trait in a certainty for people, or is it a trait perhaps that successful entrepreneurs have, that they have an ability to deal with such unexpected circumstances?
So I guess my first question to you around this is that what was the first thought that went through your head when you found out that you weren't able to work well? When, because you said on the day that you went to the hospital, you had some workshops lined up, right? So what was the first thing that went through your head? Was it, oh no, I can't do the workshops? Or was it something completely
different? The first thing, and this probably says quite a lot about me, it was, I'm going to let some people down that I made a commitment to. And that sits really badly with me. That was my first feeling was, you know, I don't want to make myself sound like any kind of hero, but I was in the middle of it, so that's fine. I could deal with whatever I had to deal with. But it was the consequences for other people that were my first thought. How can I minimize this impact on others? Because I don't have a choice in the matter. Well, short of refusing treatment, well, that was never going to be an option because if I didn't do it now, I had to do it very urgently. As my Max Levation consultant said, when I said, how serious is this? He said, well, we don't transfer people from one hospital to another and operate within 12 hours if it's not serious. And that kind of put a little bit of perspective on it. But it was about the others and the impact on the others, and also a big sense of I've put them in a difficult position, and it's my fault, it's my responsibility, but there's, and this maybe leads into a little bit of how we deal with curveballs, is, but I'm not to blame for it, because I didn't manufacture it, it wasn't negligent that this situation came about. So I have to now realise that I'm not an island, and other people will need to step up to the mark. And then one goes through the, how much of this is absolutely time critical? And thankfully, the work that I've been doing recently, I was aware pretty quickly that none of it was absolutely time critical. And if I had to wait a few weeks, nobody was going to die, no businesses were going to fail. But again, that might not always be the way you feel if you're in an early stage business and actually it feels that you are largely living day to day, or there are things that must happen very quickly.
It's funny, isn't it? Because we always talk about business continuity plans and like ensuring that you plan for the worst. But I guess, you know, in this situation, it probably, there really wasn't a plan in place, right?
There wasn't a plan in place, and I'm not sure other than what maybe the largest corporations do when they sit down and say, we're taking everybody off site for the next 5 years to look at every possible scenario that might happen and have a plan so that we can just pull it off the shelf in case it happens. I'm not sure that any reasonable person would have expected me to, or somebody in my position to have a plan for that. That little anecdote is a brilliant guy I know, I used to work at Scottish Enterprise, who revelled in always getting pulled into such planning sessions because he was very intelligent, extremely good operationally, but also a brilliant creative thinker. So he was always getting pulled into scenario planning. And this is, that makes me chuckle. But I was chatting to him during lockdown, and he was saying, I used to love doing all that stuff. And you know what? My standard line in any scenario planning that we did was, and what are we going to do if there's a global pandemic? and everything, you know, for God's sake, George, give it a rest. Well, nobody's laughing at me now. But again, you know, the pandemic has been a great example of, you know, that's a proper curveball. Remember when we were all getting excited about Brexit and how much trouble that was going to cause? And then a real curveball that maybe the governments of the world should have planned for. But I bet you sat in the room and said, all the planning in the world is not going to allow us to set a plan for something as massive as a pandemic when we don't even know how it's going to roll out. So how the hell do you plan for something that dynamic, that unexpected?
Yeah. I think the, especially when you're in a smaller business, right? One of the key things, because you're the key man in this business, it's hard to have any kind of contingency that makes any sense, really.
Yeah.
Right. Other than stop working or save up money, right?
Yeah.
Make sure, you know, communicate with your clients that you won't be around and let them know exactly how long you won't be around for. Because for other businesses, I mean, I know that when I was at Aztec, you know, we did the risk matrix and the whole risk assessment, business continuity plans. And I had, you know, one of the lines in my risk plan was, you know, buyer gets hit by a bus. And that in a way you can plan for, right? Because you've got a bigger team. There'll be other people that can take over various pieces. And then ultimately you can hire somebody else. But when you're running your own business, it's pretty impossible to hire someone else to do what you're doing.
Well, this comes down to, and I wish I could remember the name of the chap, an interviewer I listened to in the BBC with one of the founders of Airbnb. And he wasn't talking about curveballs or resilience. He was being asked about, you know, what made Airbnb the success it is. And he said, it wasn't about having a great idea. Because originally our idea actually really wasn't that great, but it was an idea. And he said the only reason Airbnb succeeded is, and we've spoken about this before, it was about a group of founders who were dynamic and creative, and amongst them were able to find solutions to every problem that came along. And if you are a one-man or a one-woman business, there are just some things that you can't solve, you can't problem solve, you can't find a solution to, and let's not call it literally going under a bus. But the being, as I was, incapacitated for 2.5 weeks, and sure, I sent a few emails, and I didn't actually do a couple of Zooms from the hospital, which were, you know, it was a bit self-indulgent, if I'm perfectly honest. And it was a bit more of tone and manner and personality. I don't think we actually solved that much in them. But I wanted my clients and people I was working with to know that I'm not willing to accept the circumstances and just let them dictate. I'm going to do the best I can throughout it. And that might only be operating at 5% of what I was able to do before, but 5% is what I'm given because that's what I can.
So an interesting question for you. Did you, obviously the world didn't fall apart once you stopped working. So, you know, isn't that there a little bit of a lesson in there for people that are maybe overworking or as we talk about burnout, that actually you can say no and you don't always have to be there and do the things?
Well, this leads us on to a couple of conversations I've had recently with early stage businesses I'm working with. One of them that is doing fabulously well, everything it touches, and it is still really a founder with a bunch of, I don't want to call them suppliers, but supply chain around them. They're all doing a great job supporting them, but he is the linchpin of everything that's going on. And I pointed him to one of our earlier webinars when he said, I'm exhausted. And it was the start of the Scottish school holidays. And I said, look, and part of his motivation is a deep sea diver who literally used to go and work weeks on end. He said, my wife wouldn't even know where in the world I was, because I would jot about when I was on call solving problems at the bottom of hugely deep wells all around the world. And I gave that up because I wanted to spend time with my wife and children. So that led him into where he is now. And I said to him, you've had a stellar 9 months. You are exhausted because you have run a flat out speed for 9 months. It's all gone brilliantly. What time are you having off this summer? He said, well, I can't. I'm too busy. And I hit him with, and this was before I got my issue, I said, if you got hit by a bus and couldn't go to work for a week, would your business fail? And he said, no, but it would set me back. And I said, fine, it's more important that you cut a week off and in this summit we have, pack the wife and kids up and grab a tent and go and camp and recharge your batteries and leave your laptop at home, put on an out-of-office message, do not answer any work calls, do not schedule any work calls, and come back restored in a week's time. And that is another view on dealing with the curveball in that absence. Very few of us will the world end if we're not there for a week or a fortnight. It might not be where it would have been without it, but I might suggest that for somebody like Ali there, you might be 2 yards back, but with the energy to get 4 yards further forward. So really, a lot of it for me comes down to the reality check of it's not the end of the world. If what I'm doing or what I'm working on is actually robust and solid, I can get round most curveballs. I'm really fortunate. I mentioned that other one when we did the management buyout at the bridge. I was lucky. There was 4 of us that did the buyout, and that became 3 for 6 months. And I'm eternally grateful that they just stepped up to the mark and were incredibly generous and considerate of my position throughout that period. I would love to think that had I been there for that entire period, the business would have looked a little bit different 6 months later. But it was still there, and it was still something to build with. So one just has to get over it. And I think if I have and this is just not about curveballs, this is all about a bit of looking after oneself, being able to say, it is not relentless, it is not a route mark. You can cut yourself a bit of space, whether that's planned or unplanned. Because if what's at the heart of it is solid, it won't all evaporate.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, I'm very guilty of not taking time off when I should do. But I think one of the...
As we were chatting, yeah. Not 30 minutes ago.
But I think one of the other issues about curveballs is not necessarily... Yes, of course, you can not do the things that you're meant to do, and people will forgive you for that. But I think one of the things I found with curveballs is that it creates... an extra level of stress that is completely unnecessary. So a few weeks back, you know, everything was going swimmingly, no problems. I was looking forward to maybe taking a bit of time off and actually for things to grow. And then I had 3 employees decide that they have to leave because of personal reasons and nothing to do with work or stress or anything like that, but because of personal reasons. And then suddenly you're running around where everything is hunky-dory, you're projecting everything quite nicely. And then suddenly 3 people decide that they need to leave for their own reasons. And it's not like they give you a month's notice. They just say on that day, sorry, I need to leave. I can't, I've got other things to take care of.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough. I mean, in the sense that, you know, it's not ideal, but in their situations, there were some very serious things that they had going on. So, you know, there's not much I can't force them to work. Right. And so you just have to deal with
it. How did you deal with that? What was your reaction? What was your emotional action? What was your management reaction? And how did you feel about it all?
Well, I think my own personal emotional reaction was like, oh, crap.
For them, that's terrible, and you must go and sort that out. Was it all crap for Barab that my life just got more complicated? Or was it all crap for Adam, CTO, because I've got, or the business's obligations is now going to feel hard? They're going to be hard to fulfill.
Well, it's a whole run, the whole gamut of emotions, right? So the first, because this was Monday morning, this is like at 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, right? And I was.
Well, that's better than Friday night. It's true. A long weekend to think about it.
Yeah. But then at least on Sunday, I was thinking, oh, this is going to be a great week. We've got lots of things going on. It'll be, you know, I can plan everything out. Everything is now working smoothly. And then Monday morning, three people leave. And first thing was like, oh crap. For me, because I was like, oh, I had a nice week planned. Now I've got to really do a bunch of other things. And obviously for that, you have empathy for people's problems, right? But I mean, not to be dismissed their problems, but they weren't, in my eyes, they weren't massive issues. We've all been through life and had bigger issues, but for them, they were big and they needed to take time off. And, you know, the way I take a practical viewpoint when it comes to the business is that, look, if their head is somewhere else, there's no point having them as zombies. Sitting home, might as well go and sort out their situation. And if they can come back, they can come back. If they can't, then fine. And so then it gets, the first thing I had to do was just take a management meeting to the other managers and say, look, this is the situation. What can we do about it? And then we streamlined in many ways. Actually, it forced us to optimize because you suddenly lose a few people. And again, no disrespect to those guys, but I don't miss two of them. Right. Because we've broken down their work into and spread it around a little bit and then decided to cut out things that we didn't think were, we should focus on. Right. So there were some nice to haves that some of them were doing that we said, okay, fine. Maybe we can delay this or see if that person comes back or if they don't come back, you know, will we miss what they're doing for that month? And is there something else that can be done to replace it? And so actually we've ended up with a much more optimal situation, pushing us forward that. It forced us to take a look at how we were working and figure out a better way. I think that's the thing. So yeah, in a way it benefited us. Now, obviously I don't think it's sustainable over the longer period, but for now it's, you know, we managed to get through it. We're there and we've got some time now to really think of a better solution going forwards.
Do you have any, words of wisdom, any pearls of wisdom for listeners on dealing with curveballs?
I think
it's, you know, is this just all about resilience? Is this just another form of the resilience conversation we had, or is this more of an emotionally led thing?
I think there's an emotional thing there. I think it's as the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy says, right? Don't panic. It really is just, okay, you've got some bad news. Because your first reaction is to, I mean, for me at least, anyway, my first reaction is always try and solve the problem as quickly as possible. But actually, it's not. Listen to what's going on, take a deep breath, and then go and chat things through. If you've got a team, chat things through with the team and see what can be, what everyone else thinks. Because what I found was that once you get four heads together, it's better to solve the problem than trying to solve it all on your own, right? And I think it's like you take a step back and say, okay, this has happened. Can't deal with it. As in, like, there's nothing else I can do but deal with it. And then don't try and do it all alone. Go and have a chat with the people that are also within the business and say, look, this is what's happened. What do people think we should do?
And you know, there's an interesting one here. I'm reminded of one of my early bosses who gave me a great little bit of advice. And I'm sure this is commonly heard by many people, so it's far from unique, but it was the first time I'd ever heard about it. We call it a curveball, call it a crisis. It was an unexpected turn of circumstances that I was not prepared for at work that were causing me a great deal of anxiety. And Alistair sat me down as I was running around, you know, about to go off in a million different directions and self-combust. And the first thing he said was, sit down, right. Is this going to be a problem a year from now or not? And I thought, that's a bloody strange thing to ask. Because this is all going to be done and dusted in the next fortnight. So if it's not going to be a problem in a year from now, it's not that big a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something we've got to deal with in the here and now. And then there'll be consequences and we'll get on with that. If you're going to tell me now that, yeah, whatever we do, we will still be dealing with this issue in a year, I'd be worried. You'd have my full attention. But other than that, we will just get on with it. And that reminds me of hearing Alistair Campbell speak not long after he stopped working with Tony Blair. And you know, you think, and I can't remember the anecdote, so forgive me, but you thought, being right-hand man to the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom for that lengthy period, not how many years it was, that there would be loads of big crises that you had to deal with. And Alistair Campbell said in his speech and his presentation said, no, we only really had two or three crises that we had to deal with. Everything else, and forgive me, I'm going to hopelessly misquote, were just circumstances that had to be dealt with. And I think if one can apply that mindset into this, things like being out of action for 2 weeks in my recent issue, having a frame attached to my face for 8 weeks, that means, you know what, I've turned down 3 projects that otherwise I would have been delighted to take on board because I just don't have the physical bandwidth to deal with it right now. You know, I feel bad that I have had to cancel some of our podcasts and I feel I've let you down, but I'm not beating myself up about it. It's not the end of the world. It will not, in the long term, have a manifest effect on whether we are successful or not. But we're dealing with it, and in a month's time, hopefully, that'll be that bump on the road that we had along the way.
Definitely, and I think it gives us more material, at least, to work with, right?
So I think, you know, for those of you that have borne with us through this whole conversation today, that is kind of what I would offer as my point of view on dealing with curveballs. It's not about resilience. It's more than about resilience, which for me is about that ability to adapt to the circumstances and keep moving forward. This is about understanding the situation that you're in, bringing context to it, and accepting that it might put you down a different track for a period of time, but being able to come to terms with that and make the most of the situation and move on.
Indeed. I think, as you say, it's more than just resilience, right? And as I said before, I think it's that whole feeling of don't panic, the solution will come, and actually maybe you'll be better off through it at the end of it, right? You might actually come out of it in a better situation in time.
And maybe one thing to add, that 99% of the time, immediately remove any sense of guilt or blame. It's not your fault. Something has happened, and now you will deal with it. So let's wrap on that. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast. We look very much forward to seeing you next time.
See you. Many thanks for taking the time to listen to the podcast today. If you like what you hear, please leave a review or subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, all the main podcasting sites. And if you'd like to learn more from us, you can contact Alan. He's alan@tbgp.co.uk. And you can find me at info@atomcto.com.